Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. David Noble is here. David is someone that I know, but he's new to you because this is his first time on the show. I met him in Connecticut a few months ago when I was up there doing some work and visiting with the folks. He's the director of the Peter J. Wirth Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation at UConn, University of Connecticut. He's the founder of Zatoichi Company, which is a blockchain-based startup, and that's what we're going to talk about today. David Noble, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Jim.
It's good to talk to you again. We had some fun when I was there last November. Thank you for being so for all the hospitality.
Well, punches were withheld at dinner. So
no, it
won't be as good this morning.
It was a rousing. It was a rousing event. We had a good time. Hey, David, talk to us about for a moment what you do at UConn as a director of entrepreneurship. What is that work all about? I mean, I know it sounds intuitive, but I want you to tell us.
So my benefactor, Peter J. Wirth, donated about $25 million to UConn a couple of years ago, with the intent of bringing entrepreneurial initiatives to every student at UConn. So that's what we do. We try to find ways to bring classes, programs, opportunities that transform students' lives and allow them a much higher level of learning through experience in the small business and startup business process.
So you bust down the doors of the 16th century French poetry course and the basket weaving symposiums on college on the campus there and make them overlay entrepreneurship on it.
I bring entrepreneurship and crisscross many different silos of knowledge. And, you know, I think of the School of Fine Arts, for instance, 90% of their graduates will be entrepreneurs. They just don't know it today at 19 to 20 years old, right?
They don't know how they're going to get paid, do they, yet? They don't realize how they're going to get paid is not going to look like it did 100 years ago or even 20 years ago.
No, they have no idea how to start and run a business, and what we try to do is educate them. And it allows for deeper learning in their own subject area by thinking about what they're doing and is there an opportunity to create a business for profit, nonprofit, for good. All of these things are within our scope. But I think they bring greater learning to the student. And just like myself, I think starting a business again after a long time brings greater knowledge to my teaching, right?
Right. Exactly.
We shouldn't separate that knowledge from the actual practical business use of it.
Right. No, that's exactly right. So that's very interesting that you're doing this. How are they receiving it? How are they? Is it intuitive for them? Do they get it once you explain it to them? Or are they resisting it? The people who wouldn't be that 16th century French poetry class, would they receive something like that?
So, you know, that 16th century, let's call it literature or poetry, that class is full of lots of different people, right?
Yeah.
And so everybody receives it in different ways. What we do is we bring lots of different programming, right? I do very little myself. I empower lots of different programs. So we have minors. We bring minors, which allow them to take classes. We bring student competitions. You know, this week we have our investor presentation day from our student.
You said minors. You're talking about kids?
Like an entrepreneurship minor, right, instead of a major,
Right. Oh, I see. So I hear you what you said. Okay, I hear you.
You major in dance, minor in entrepreneurship.
There you go.
Right?
All right.
Like that's what we want.
That's fascinating. I'm glad to see that. I wish more people would do that. Because what you're doing is a more formal, scholarly way to approach the gig economy, isn't it? What you're doing.
Yeah, we want to support the gig economy is coming regardless of whether we want people right. So we want to support students for the best outcomes for their lives, and this is such an important piece of it.
Right.
Just understanding how to turn something into a business.
One of the things I've had to learn how to do as I've reinvented myself especially the last 30 years, David, is I've had to learn how to monetize the value I have for my customers. And I've had to go around the world a few times, so to speak, and come back to a place where my customers could, where I could be compensated for my work. Sometimes even when the person who received my work didn't write the check directly. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to monetize things, and I've had to learn how to do that. And that's, to me, in my opinion, that's what the gig economy is all about. The gig economy is not about corporate America, or anything that they've done or not done. The gig economy is learning how to monetize your work, especially if you want to be on your own.
Creatives like yourself, it's absolutely necessary. Right? And you're going to change again in the next 5 to 10 years, right?
Yep.
I mean, you're going to continually be looking for ways to do that. And because you have a lifelong system of learning behind you in this regard, you'll more likely be successful. And that's the exact experience we're trying to instill in the students, so that if they see their job transforming digitally, perhaps, or automating, they can then be ahead of that curve, notice it, react to it, be the people leading the charge. Because if you lead the charge into automation, you tend to do, better. If you lead the charge into monetizing the creatives, you tend to do better. You place yourself in a leadership position.
One of the ways that that will be part of how you will monetize your future work is a certain kind of technology. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. David is on the forefront of this too. There's a kind of a technology that's going to be essential for you to be able to get paid, and after you monetize your work.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.